Sex and happiness both enrich our lives, yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness. You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to an episode of Sex and Happiness, a show about your sex and your happiness. And you know, I feel that they go hand in hand. I can't imagine... I just can't imagine being that happy if you're not that sexy or you're not having sex. I can't imagine being that sexy if you're not happy. Like, I don't know. They just go hand in hand for me. I always say that. I stress that. And so here we are again. We're at an episode where we're really going to talk a lot about women's sexuality in a moment, but that's really not the title of the show. I'll surprise you in a moment. First, let me talk about my guest. My guest is Lori Mintz. She's a PhD and an award-winning college professor. She currently teaches the psychology of human sexuality to hundreds of students a year at the University of Florida, and she has over 20 years of experience working with private clients on sexual issues. She's received numerous professional awards and is a fellow of the American Psychological Association, and she's published over 50 research studies, writes in Psychology Today blog, and has been quoted in many outlets, including Cosmopolitan, Women's Day Prevention, Women's Health, Men's Health, CNN, Oprah.com, and The Huffington Post. So today, Lori is joining me on the show because she's written a new book called Becoming Clitorate. And I assume that to mean having literacy around the clitoris. So, Lori, welcome to my show.
Thanks for having me on. I'm happy to be here.
I'm glad. I'm really glad that you wrote such a book. And is my assumption correct that you're talking about people becoming literate about their own clitorises and their partners becoming literate about that too? Literate meaning educated?
That is exactly right. And it's exactly what you say, plus more. It's being literate about your anatomy, your points of pleasure, what brings you pleasure. And the reason I call it becoming clitorate is because about 95% of women need clitoral stimulation to reach orgasm. So it's becoming literate about your sexual pleasure.
Awesome. Very great. I couldn't be in more alignment than what you just said. I'm thrilled. So before we actually get to that, and how this, that's a kind of a staggering percent, but I guess I'm not surprised. I want to go there, but I want to also find out how you got started. So let me just say this for a minute. I remember when there was this movement to tell women that they were immature if they couldn't have vaginal orgasms without clitoral stimulation. And I remember laughing at that and going, who's telling us this? These men doctors? Like, this is so stupid. They don't have a clitoris, so they're probably jealous of the kinds of orgasms that we can have. And so they're taking away our birthright to have, like, enormous pleasure. Because after teaching Tantra for 21 years, I could say that I might have used to be envious of men and the kind of power that they could wield and the power of privilege, etc. But now that I know how much real pleasure women can have in their bodies and how many different kinds of orgasms and how much orgasm after orgasm after orgasm after orgasm we could have, I feel bad for men. And I think men feel jealous. I think that they're finally like coming to terms with the fact that, you know, women's bodies are just built for pleasure.
Well, the clitoris is the only organ in all of human anatomy, male or female, that's only purpose is for pleasure. I mean, the penis also serves for men to urinate through. The clitoris is only there for pleasure. And unfortunately, I think, you know, the culture, what you're talking about, women learning, being told that if they don't have orgasms through intercourse, there's something wrong with them. That started with way back with Freud. I call it the number one lie about getting laid. And it still plagues us today. So many women are still very worried about that. It's the, one of the top questions that my students ask me in my human sexuality class. And in fact, you know, clitoral knowledge, you know, came sort of out in the 60s, but it's gone underground now. And young women today, and some older women too, just never, ever got rid of that lie that you're talking about, that there's a right way to orgasm, and it's through a thrusting penis. And that's what porn often shows as well.
And that's how so many young people are learning about sex. Porn is so readily available on the internet and drives so much of the internet that that's really where a lot of young people are learning, and they're learning it all wrong. I just saw a TED talk of a woman, a British woman, I can't think of her name right now, saying that she has sex with young men and says, you know, things to them, no, you can't ejaculate on my face. I know you saw that in porn, but I won't like that, and neither will any young girl that you meet, even though they feel pressured to do that because they learned about sex from porn. I mean, I just cracked up when I saw that. So, yes, we've been sold a bill of goods. We've been lied to. What was it Malcolm X said? I've been hoodwinked and bamboozled. I've been led astray. So, yes, we have as women. I'm really glad I never listened to any of that nonsense. I was smart enough to pay attention to what turned me on and my own pleasure, and brave enough to explore. How did you get started in this? Did your seventh grade guidance counselor tell your parents that you were going to be a sex expert?
No, my seventh grade guidance counselor told my parents I should probably not keep smoking outside the building, but he didn't say I should be a sex therapist. However, thank heavens I don't smoke anymore, but that is what my guidance counselor was more concerned about at the time. But honestly, I do say I got started on this because I had my own coming of age, and I mean that in a pun way, my coming of age. And when during the 60s, you know, during the early 70s, when like really that was the one period of time when most people had heard of the clitoris, were aware of it. And basically then fast forward, I've always been an admirer and lover of the clitoris. I appreciate its power. And then fast forward to, I'm a PhD psychologist. I specialize in sex therapy. And I'm amazed because the number one question out there is, why can't I orgasm during intercourse? And it's the number one question sent to Cosmopolitan magazine. And then I moved to the University of Florida, where I started teaching a human sexuality class to hundreds of students a year. And I was floored at the misinformation that this generation had about women's pleasure. Some of them really hadn't even heard of the clitoris, just didn't know why sex wasn't enjoyable to them. And I started teaching them, and I would get notes, you know, thanks to your class, I'm orgasmic, from young women, from men. Thank you so much. I have so much better relationship with my girlfriend now, thanks to this class. And I thought, I can't just keep this to 100 people a year at the university or 200 a year at the University of Florida. I really, really want to spread this knowledge more broadly. And that's what led me to write the book, which is actually half feminist or cultural analysis about why we have this problem in the first place, and half self-help, teaching women to reach and experience their maximum sexual pleasure and orgasm.
So great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, what can I say? I mean, I experienced the same kind of thing, and I just feel like there can't be enough said. I mean, and the ignorance out there and how it just every decade or every other decade, it just swirls again. And then there's all this misconception and misunderstanding and whatever. So thank you for doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you for helping me spread the word about clitoracy and orgasm equality. And what you just said really resonates. And I have a part of the book where I sort of look back historically. And what you find when you do that, and I'm not the first to say this, Naomi Wolf said it in her book, Vagina, that clitoral knowledge has been lost and found throughout history. And I really hope it's time that it's found and never lost again.
Me too. I mean, it's just so sad because there's more things to get on with. You know, once a person is fully empowered sexually, a woman will say is fully empowered sexually, she's not like any other woman. I mean, to me, a woman who's empowered sexually walks differently, walks into a room differently, has a different presence, isn't so self-absorbed, self-concerned, self-catty. All these things, these sort of the immature feminine aspects that are attributed to women, being bitchy, being this, being that. Once a woman is sexually empowered, like, all that stuff drops. The competition, the worry about the size of her boobs or getting injections in the lips or all these things, like, she's just happier, like, and self-contained, and knows how to say to her partners, you know, this is what I want. This is what I need. And the reason I know is because not only did I read it, but I tried it on myself.
Oh, you just hit two really, really important points that I underscore in the book, is that in the self-help section, I have both a section on masturbation and self-love. Teaching women, guiding women, encouraging women to find out what brings them pleasure. And then I have a chapter on communication. How do you then tell your partner that? And then I have a chapter on sort of rewriting sexual scripts so women's orgasms are just as much as the climax of the show as men. So you're really hitting on all those essential ingredients. And I, as of orgasm for women, the most essential step is to know what you like and then get that same kind of stimulation during partnered sex. And most women don't do that. They self-love in one way, and then with a male partner, they just sort of give it up and think they should orgasm another way. So you really just, you know, got to what I see as the most important kernel of learning and truth around women's orgasms.
So good. Really great. Well, obviously I've taken myself there, so I'm able to communicate about it, and it's better than ever for me. But I had to come to terms with myself, you know, like I had to come to terms with, I can't wait for somebody to bring me to a place where I want to go. I have to take myself to the outer edges, to climax after climax after climax. And once I do that and I know what the terrain is, then I could tell anybody. And if I don't tell them, it's my bad. You know, it's like, I can't expect magic.
Right.
I can't expect a magic trick. And then there are partners who are more skilled than others. So, like, I could luck out, you know, and find a really skilled partner, and then I learn new stuff. But self-exploration was the key, so...
Yes, and that we are responsible for our own orgasms. We can't rely on a partner to, quote, give us one. And that, it, you know, and especially all these false images of how to give a woman an orgasm. Once women take responsibility and ownership of their own orgasms, both they and their partner have much better time together.
Wonderful. Well, we're going to go to break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about this. Like, I thought of some stuff that has to do with porn and how people are getting educated. And I want to talk to you about that a little bit. And also, I'll just give you, a little pre-moment to think about this. I want to know what your take is on vibrators, because there's pros and cons. There's a lot of people who are absolutely against them. So when we come back, we'll touch on that a little bit. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. I'm interviewing Laurie Mintz, who's just written a book that I'm thrilled about. It's called Becoming Clitorate, and it's about women taking claim and ownership, just what she just said, for their own orgasms and reclaiming their clitorises. It should be clitori, I guess. So stay tuned. We will be right back. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra is safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Laurie Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Laurie Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
I want to talk to you about the craziest and most inventive sex toy or sex enhancement that I've come upon in a long time. It's called Love Rider, L-U-V-R-Y-D-R. That's L-U-V-R-Y-D-R, Love Rider. So I know the couple that invented it. They never intended to invent it. They stumbled upon it. And isn't that how most things go in life? The subtitle to Love Rider is Grab the Bar and Ride Your Lover Wild. And I want to tell you that I've had multiple experiences with Love Rider. I've taken it all around the world, and I've had lovers experience it. I've given it to them overnight and told them to come back and tell me their experience with it. And every one of them comes back with a raving report. It's a harness that the person receiving puts around their shoulders, either forwards or backwards, whatever. It depends on what position you want to use the Love Rider in. And the person who's giving, the penetrator, takes the handlebar like they're riding a horse, and they lean back and they get amazing angles of penetration from using this device. It's hard to describe, but I want to encourage you to go there and look it up. Listen, my lover gave it a 5.5 stars out of 5. That's all I got to say. So go to loverider.com and look for this beautiful invention, and you can use my name if you call them, or you can use my code Butterfly Workshops, letting them know that you heard about Love Rider through me. That's loverider.com, LUVRYDR. We're back with Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, and I'm interviewing Laurie Mintz. And we spell our name the same way, which is rare.
I know. I love that.
I've interviewed some other Lauries, and they spell their name L-O-R-I, but we both spell our name the six-letter way, L-A-U-R-I-E. Anyway, Laurie Mintz is a professor. She's an award-winning professor of human sexuality at the University of Florida. And she has written and blogged and been quoted in many different magazines and different online magazines such as Women's Health, Men's Health, and Oprah.com and the Huffington Post. Anyway, we're talking about why she wrote this book and how she wrote this book and who it's helping. And my questions for you are, you know, I thought about how young women often see sex for the first time as pornography, and young men as well. And then they do this stuff that they're mimicking from a not realistic vantage point. That really isn't what sex is about. That's not what good sex is about. It's not what most sex is about. And so they really don't learn about themselves. So what do you do with that? What do you do in the case of that? What do you do with your clients who come to you and they haven't got a clue?
Yeah, and that, I really appreciate you bringing this point up. And I wrote a blog that went kind of viral, because I called this generation the most misinformed generation about sex ever. And you think people would have been like, oh, no, that's not true. Look at everything they can learn and how open culture is. But instead, young people agreed with me. They're like, yes, you're right, we are. And we are misinformed because we have so much sexual information around us and so many images of porn, but we're never taught what is the difference between reality and porn. So we use it as sex education. And that is a problem because our sex education system is so lacking that that's the only place they're getting ideas about sex. We only have 23 states that require sex ed. Only 13 require it to be medically accurate, which means you can actually say falsities in sex ed. So to get to your point, I am not opposed to porn. I mean, porn is entertainment for many people. It's arousing. It's visually arousing. But the problem is when people use it as sex ed. And so what I do is I educate people. I talk about the difference between reality and porn. It's sort of like watching a superhero movie. You know, it's fun to watch them jump off the, you know, cliff and then fly and land on their feet, but that's not real people. It's entertainment. It's made up. And so I educate people about how things happen in porn. I could tell you how squirting in porn is actually filmed. It's a woman is filled up until she can't hold it any longer, and then the director runs off stage and hits play. There's so many examples like that. But what I do is just say, like, it's fun, but it's not real sex. And here's what real sex is. And, you know, in Denmark, I love this. And I share it to show you and the listeners that it doesn't have to be this way. In Denmark, they actually show real porn in sex ed classes starting in about high school. And they talk to the students about the difference between porn and real sex. And, you know, porn is here to stay. So instead of, you know, saying, oh, it's terrible, it's a demon, we have to just start talking about it. This is entertainment and it's not real. Do not use this as a model. Here are some real models to use.
So good. Really so good. I'm sorry. That's shocking about Denmark. It's very cool that they do that. It's amazing here that this is so still in the darkness. We're like in the dark ages of sex. People still don't talk about sex or money. And those are the two things that people want the most of. They want, and it's essential for happiness. You do have to be able to have some money in your life, and you do have to be able to have some great sex in your life, and in order to be like truly happy. You know, the sports car or the whatever, you know, the newest trendy thing, the greatest iPhone, is not going to build that much happiness in you, but your own body and your own capability to be able to achieve is really is some of what makes for self-esteem and makes people feel happy inside, within themselves. Happiness is an inside job. So you have to be able to have your body's potential. How do you feel about vibrators? I just have to ask that because there's a lot of in some new movements, like the orgasmic meditation movement, there's an anti-vibrator. And I noticed that you have a quote from Betty Dodson, who's like the queen of orgasms and the queen of vibration. And so how do you feel about it when you're teaching people to self-pleasure?
I am very pro-vibrator, and I'll tell you why I'm very pro-vibrator. And I'm aware of the arguments against them. So I want to tell you why I'm pro-vibrator, and then I want to tell you my sort of response to the anti-vibrator.
Okay, great.
First of all, many women, that is the type of clitoral stimulation they need, vibration. People have been using that kind of stimulation for centuries. In the, I think it was in the Roman era, there was a woman who put bees in a box and held it to her clitoris. Vibrators were actually invented when women were being diagnosed with hysteria. The reason they were invented, women would go to these doctors with these symptoms, and the doctors would manually masturbate the women, and they'd then feel better. Their hysteria was really due to being sexually frustrated, and the doctor's hands got tired. So that's how the first electric vibrator was invented, by a doctor who was getting sore hands, Dr. Granville. So they are not a new thing. They've been around a long time, and they're around because they provide the type of intense vibrating stimulation that many women need to reach orgasm. Many women does not have her first orgasm until she uses a vibrator. And so, you know, the argument against it is, oh, you know, you should learn to do it with your fingers or your partner's fingers, or it happens too fast, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And my response to that is just another way, yet another way we are telling women there's a right way and a wrong way to orgasm. First, we said you should have it with penile-vaginal intercourse. Now we're saying, okay, it's okay to touch your clitoris, but not with a vibrator. It happens too fast. And I just think we need to stop shooting on female orgasms. However a woman has an orgasm that is good for her is the best orgasm ever. And, you know, if you always have need a vibrator to orgasm, then simply incorporate it into partnered sex. And I have tips in my book to do so. We don't do the same thing with male orgasm in our culture. We wouldn't say to a man, oh, my heavens, you always have to have penile-vaginal intercourse to orgasm. Oh, don't do it that way. There's a better way. So I just think that it's time that we stop placing these better, worse, should, shouldn'ts on women's orgasm, and that includes vibrators.
Thank you very much. I rest my case, everybody out there who's heard me argue this argument. This is wonderful. I agree.
Oh,
I agree.
Good. I'm so glad we're on the same page with this. Wonderful.
Now there are people who say that they lose sensation over time using vibration because they numb out some of their nerve endings. And so my answer to that is just by a Sibian. That's because I'm a poster child for Sibian. So if you can afford it, buy the Lamborghini of vibrators.
And, you know, people get accustomed to orgasming the way that they are going to orgasm. That whole nerve thing, it's really interesting because it's actually, research shows it's actually quite easily fixed. that vibrators won't damage nerves. And in fact, in a study of rabbits, vibrations actually increased the nerve sensitivity. And apparently rabbits have very similar clitorises to females, but use less intensity or use more intensity, or buy a different vibrator, try something new. So I'm with you, 100%. I'm not doubting any woman's story or reaction, but there are solutions to that problem.
I agree. I don't care. Just do it. I mean, Betty Dodson was my first, besides someone that I didn't know, you know, like Cleopatra or whatever, Betty Dodson was my first woman hero that I could actually talk to and, read a book. And she was still alive. I could write her a letter. I came upon her in the 1972, and we were pen pals for a while. So, I couldn't agree more. I'm excited about that. I have another. Go ahead. You want to say something else?
I was just going to say I absolutely adore Betty Dodson, and she is still giving private orgasm lessons to women in New York City. And she uses her Hitachi magic wand to do so still.
The queen of Hitachi.
Fantastic.
I know.
Yes.
So I had another question, another thing, but you know what? We'll move because there might be some other stuff. Like I noticed in the material that you sent me, that there's something called an orgasm gap. So let's talk about that a little bit because, I mean, I could go on and on with things that have come up, but I want to do you justice and talk about your material. So what is the orgasm gap?
Oh, thank you for asking that. And I feel we could talk for hours about so many topics related to sex and happiness. But the orgasm gap is why I really was compelled to write the book in the first place. And it's the reason why the subtitle is about orgasm equality. Research shows that when in cisgendered heterosexual sexual encounters, so basically between a man and a woman having a sexual encounter, men are having way more orgasms than are women. So let me put some numbers on that. Most studies put it at about 3 to 1, that there are 3 male orgasms to every female orgasm, and that's inclusive of relationship sex. However, when you look at first-time casual sex, the numbers are staggering. This is from research I have done. I asked my students, about 500 students across 3 years, how often do you usually orgasm during first-time hookup sex? 55% of men say yes versus 4% of women. Whoa. So huge, huge gap. And now that gap gets smaller the second time you have sex with a person. It gets smaller in friends with benefits. It gets the smallest in relationship sex, and it never quite goes away. So I wanted to write about, educate people that this gap exists, talk to them about what's underlying this gap, and then what the solutions are at both a personal and a cultural level to this gap.
That is staggering. I mean, wow.
Yeah, it's staggering. And it's due to the, cultural script of foreplay, which means clitoral stimulation, just enough to get her ready for intercourse, male orgasm, female fake orgasm, 67% of women fake orgasm, game over. And, it's really due, the orgasm gap is due to the number one lie about getting laid, that we should orgasm from intercourse. And then there's lots of other cultural reasons underlying it. Slut shaming, calling a woman who enjoys sex a slut, sort of the cultural scripts that women's role is to please and attract men, and if it's good for him, it's good for me, and our lacking sex education system. I could go on and on, but the orgasm gap is really the problem I am hoping to solve culturally and in individual bedrooms with my book.
That's wonderful. That is wonderful. Yeah, I mean, I guess I've eradicated that in my life because of Tantra, And I've eradicated that in many people's lives because of Tantra and all my Tantric friends. I mean, we talk about our amazing orgasms and how much we're orgasming. And it's not a contest, but it's just like the turn on of just being turned on all the time and having orgasms. And also orgasms, not just, you know, also having teagasms and moviegasms and drivingasms, you know, like every kind of gasm that you could possibly have, laughgasms. So, I mean, we've expanded. And so I guess I find the statistics you're talking about staggering, only in the fact that I guess for the last 21 years, I now am sheltered in an orgasm culture.
you know, and I find that too, Lori. Like, I sometimes have to remind myself, this is really the problem, because I'm obviously, like you, so immersed in and comfortable talking about sex, and I have to remind myself, we are a very small minority. I posted a picture, a diagram from my book on Instagram yesterday. I mean, it was a very beautiful, it was basically an anatomical drawing. It wasn't sexual at all. It was simply a drawing of woman's genital anatomy with parts labeled. And oh my heavens, the backlash even from women. Comments like, I feel so uncomfortable seeing this come across my feed. And like, oh my gosh, what is this? Why? It's like, wow, it's so uncomfortable out there in the world, and yeah. You and I live in a bubble.
You know, you just reminded me, I belong to an entrepreneurial group here in Phoenix, and we meet in Scottsdale once a week, and they're very top-level entrepreneurs. I mean, people who are... When I moved to Arizona, it was depressed and... a place where businesses were closing 8 years ago. Nothing was happening here. And this group pretty much single-handedly has rebuilt business in this entire valley. So I'm friendly with and meet with the amazing movers and shakers. And I'm their sex geek. And I talk a lot about sexuality. And when it's my minute to stand up and introduce myself, I used to give a sex tip. And then there would be callbacks, like people, as they would keep going around and people would have their 1 minute thing to say, people would come back to the thing I said. And it was popular and funny and fun, and people were starting to look into it and laugh about it. And then a woman who attended the group got uncomfortable with my giving sex tips, and I was asked to not do that anymore.
Wow, even though people were hungry for those tips.
I know, it's so crazy. So I don't do it anymore. I mean, I still talk about who I am, and I can't not talk about sex because that's my business, sex and happiness. But I just don't give the tips anymore because, you know, I was spoken to about it. And and they are hungry for it. They speak to me quietly on the QT.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, that's so sad to me.
It's sad. Well, we're going to take another break here. And when we come back, we're going to find out anything more that you feel absolutely like a tip that you want to give to my audience. And then we're going to find out how people can get in touch with you, how they can get the book, and so on. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. You're finding out more and more. You're finding out today more about women's sex and happiness. But you know what? It goes hand in hand. Happy women make happy men. And if you're a miserable man and you're listening to this show, probably it's because you've partnered with women who haven't taken ownership of their clitoris and taken ownership of their orgasms. And perhaps you want to find out how to get the book. So we'll be right back. I hope you sit at the edge of your chairs. As a sex and happiness coach, I understand that increased sexual participation intensifies sexual responsiveness and desire, as well as overall health and well-being. My experience with a Sibian has personally increased my sexual response, and I can now train women to use this machine to have peak orgasms as often as possible.
I strongly believe this will add to their health and well-being, whether they have a partner or not. The beauty and the miracle of the human body is that it adapts and changes much more rapidly than people change their beliefs or their opinions. The Sibian can make any woman's body more resilient with each peak orgasm. Sibian is an amazing experience, often described as the Lamborghini of sex toys. If you're a woman and you can get yourself to look at Sibian, you should do so. It won't take away from your partner. It will only add. Trust me on this. I love my Sibian. Go to Sibian.com. That's Sibian.com. Or call 1-800-253-6135. That's 800-253-6135. And say Lori Handler's told you about Sibian. And by the way, if you do have a partner, ask about Venus for Men. That's Venus, V-E-N-U-S, for Men.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
Do you want to deepen your intimacy while being on the perfect vacation? I'm talking about an all-inclusive vacation with a nude beach, a prude beach, and an exceptional nightlife and plenty of entertainment. In really fun classes every day, I will take you deeper and deeper into couples sensuality, into intimacy, and enhanced communication as the week progresses. I also will offer private or semi-private sessions by appointment. I'll offer sessions in sex magic, G-spot stimulation, female ejaculation, and men's ejaculation choice. When?
October 14th to the 21st, 2017.
Where? Hedonism 2 Resort in Negril, Jamaica. For more information or to book your room, call Tom's Trips at 800-285-0853. That's 800-285-0853. Please book now. I can't wait to be with you in Jamaica.
This is Sex and Happiness, and I'm your host, Lori Handlers, and today I'm interviewing Lori Mintz, and she has quite the credentials. She's a PhD, she's a human sexuality professor at University of Florida, and she's been quoted in many periodicals and places on the internet that many of you look things up on. And so today I'm interviewing her really to find out, you know, why she wrote this book, Becoming Clitorate, and what it could do for you. And already I'm convinced. So, Lori, I want to find out what I might not have asked you, or what kind of, you know, like we didn't cover, but that you might want to share, or some kind of a tip, either or.
Okay. I think
or
that-
both.
Okay. The one thing that we didn't cover that I think is essential, and you probably have talked about this many times on your show, is mindfulness and the way that you think. In, as I said, my book's a combination of cultural analysis, why do we have the orgasm gap, and self-help, how do you overcome it yourself, and that first step is the first step before I get into self-love, communication, and then partnered sex is training your mind, because an orgasm involves complete and total mindfulness or focused immersion in the sensations of the moment. And so many women, and men too, but I'm talking about women today, cannot stay in their bodies. Instead, their mind goes wandering off to things like, oh, I've got to do this on my to-do list. Or even more commonly, am I coming fast enough? Do I smell funny? Do I look fat? And it's impossible to have an orgasm while you're thinking those things or holding your stomach in. I tell my clients and students and readers that they can trust me on that, because I wasted too many of my early years trying that myself. And that basically you have to practice mindfulness during your waking hours, non-sexual. Focus on just the sensations. When you're brushing your teeth, really focus on how that feels. When you're washing dishes, when you're walking, do yoga. Train your mind and your body to be in the same space and place and time, and then translate that into the bedroom. And that is a tip that's very important for everyone to achieve sexual pleasure and experience sexual pleasure.
That's so great. I usually tell people to, this is what how I tell people to do it, so I'll augment a little bit. I say to people, if you're not having an orgasm, you're probably not breathing. You're holding your breath, which has, and this translates into mindfulness from just a different angle. So make sound. And make sound loud enough so that you can turn yourself on by your own sound. When you're making sound, you know you're breathing, because sound is your exhale. And so then you just have to breathe in. And if you're oxygenating your cells, chances are you have a better shot at having an orgasm. So that's what I say. And I tell people to be loud. And I know that takes a lot of overcoming shyness and all kinds of things. But I remember early in my life going, in my head, exactly what you said, going, oh, I think I'm going to have a... And then I would hold my breath, and then nothing would happen. That was some kind of control, like just some kind of, you know, I'm trying to control it. And mm-hmm. Part of it is letting the sensations take you out of control.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, and there's even brain research that during an orgasm, a part of your conscious brain shuts off. And you need to let your brain shut off.
Exactly. So good. Thank you. Now, how can people find you? What's the best way to get in touch with you? And equally as important, how can people find the book, Becoming Clitorate?
So I'm pretty easy to find on an internet search. Just you could type in Dr. Lori Mintz and probably my website will come up, which is www.drlorimintz.com. And on that website, you can find my Twitter handle, my Instagram handle, my Facebook page. It's all linked there. And so are links to buy the book. I know many, many people shop on Amazon, and that's the book's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, independent bookstores. So anywhere that books are sold, you can find Becoming Clitorate.
Wonderful. Just wonderful. So let's see. How has this added to or changed your life, your personal life?
How has writing the book changed my personal life? That's such a wonderful question. Thanks for asking that. Honestly, it feels like the climax of my career to write this book. I feel so passionately about the topic, about helping women experience sexual pleasure. The writing process itself was absolutely wonderful. Probably both because of my personality. I liked the writing a little more than sort of the promoting thing. And then I had to really talk to myself. Like, I'm not promoting myself and I'm not promoting an idea. I'm really promoting a concept that I spent a long, long time writing because I believe in this concept. I believe in its importance to help mm-hmm. people. So how it's changed me is sort of really understanding What it means to really passionately want to tell the world something. And I've caught some flack for it, which is a whole nother topic. And it, believing in myself enough to let that those kind of internet trollers, if you will, sort of roll off. And, you know, it's really not where I want to put my energies. And beautiful. Everyone else who has written on this topic has received the same kind of blowback. But that tells me something about our culture as well.
Exactly. You cannot. Yeah. First of all, they're strangers who are trying to. It's like rape in a different way. It's like mind rape. They're strangers and they're trying to bring you down from and your message down. And it's just it's just ignorance. So, yeah, you have to let that go. I'm so glad that you. You know, that you realize that promoting it is really, it's, this is your mission right now. You're educating people and it's a powerful and important mission. And no amount of shyness or not wanting to market as much as right, you know, there's sort of a, like an intellectual, break there. You know, I could write it, but like, okay, then I have to market it too. I'm so glad that you got there, that you just doing it. And your speaking about it is really powerful. It really, really is. So I've appreciated every moment of being with you today.
Well, thank you. I feel the same way. Thank you so much for what you do in educating people about sex and happiness. And thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, my pleasure. And my pleasure is really important to me. It's great. Anyway, Lori, thank you so much. And people listening, get the book. If your curiosity was even a little piqued, get the book, get the lessons, learn about it. I know you're loyal listeners. I know you've been listening to me for a long time. And so I know some of this is not new to you, but it doesn't matter. There might be somebody in your life who sees the book sitting on your counter, just like someone in my life did. Two people in my life saw the book and said, oh my God, I got to get this book. So do yourself that, give yourself that pleasure and that privilege. Please tune in next week when I will have another amazing guest. Talking about sex and happiness, you know, it never ends, and it's wonderful. More and more people are coming to this subject matter, and I have no hard time finding fabulous guests for you. So tune in again. I'll be here talking to some other expert that will tell you about really how to have more pleasure, how to have more sex, how to have more happiness in your life. Thank you for listening. I couldn't do it without you. This is Lori Handler signing off for Sex and Happiness.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Oh.